let's touch base now with James Sutherland, CEO of Golf Australia. We learned last week that the Australian PGA Championship, the Australian Open, and the Women's Australian Open would be cancelled for this summer of golf. And unfortunately, there's been another casualty, and the CEO joined us. James, good morning.
Morning. Morning, Jen.
Great to have you with us. Not fantastic news for golfers. What can you tell us today from a Golf Australia perspective?
Oh, obviously very disappointing. We had the announcement last week with those major national championships, the men's and the women's and the PGA, and this week just haven't been able to work through in such a way so that we've had to cancel the Victorian Open as well, which has been a fantastically successful event down on the Bellarine Peninsula over the last few years, the men's and women's event together, which is a bit of a first in the world. But we just feel that it's just too difficult with all of the challenges, including getting the best talent in the field, which is obviously a real predicament at the moment in the way that people are limited from moving around.
So we spoke last week about the big three not going ahead, and we sort of understood that the timing was going to be really difficult. The fact that it's in February, does it make it harder to pull the pin earlier this early now, James, considering what might open up? Or are you feeling and hearing that there's not going to be a lot of change to the way that we're moving around the world for the next 6 months?
Well, I think travel is going to continue to be an issue, and the feedback we've had talking to the professional players and their representatives is that they're going to think very carefully about how they move themselves around the world. And if they've got to come somewhere and quarantine for 2 weeks, which I think that's going to be a matter of course for quite some time yet, then they need to make it worth their while, and they need to sort of come for a long period, not just come out for one tournament or a couple of tournaments, because they're going to have to, when they go home, they're going to have to quarantine again. So, you know, that's a month out of their life, and probably a month without earning as well.
Yeah, and that makes a bit of sense. So on the back of that, was there discussion of making it an Australian-only event? Now, I don't know, that part of the lure and the attraction of the whole concept is to get European Tour status and LPGA status for the women's perspective. And you wouldn't get that with a domestic tournament effectively, but it is the Vic Open. Was it discussed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we thought very carefully about having an event that didn't necessarily attract the international players, and how that might be co-joined with other events that may be playing around the country. And so then we need to project forward and say, okay, what's happening with travel borders, border restrictions, and movement in other parts of the country, and that it doesn't seem as though that's going away domestically. There's still going to be quarantining provisions in and out of states. But then I think the other thing on top of that is the challenges with social distancing and crowds and biosecurity hubs and all of those sorts of things. The golf. When people are moving around, it's actually a little bit more challenging for golf than it is even in a stadium environment. And also the additional cost burden on that is really significant, and something for events and a sport like golf that doesn't get the same sort of media rights, say, as an AFL or an NRL or a cricket, it's a different challenge altogether, and the economics just don't stack up.
You've picked a good time, James, to get back into top-level sport as a CEO.
Yeah, I think, it doesn't matter what sport you're in, the challenges are unforeseen. These sorts of issues that everyone's dealing with weren't, I don't think they were on anyone's risk chart in terms of predicted events that might happen. So it is certainly unusual and very challenging for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to explore a little bit more about the Australian golfers that are essentially stuck in Australia, professional golfers that are stuck in Australia and can't go and travel. And that might be players that, especially the Asian tours or the Japanese tour or even maybe Europe, that are stuck not being able to earn a living in Australia. How concerned are you for those players, and what can Golf Australia do to make sure that that they can earn some sort of money?
Yeah, I think it's something that certainly the PGA, I know, are very mindful of. And I think more broadly, there's income, but there's also mental health and welfare issues, the real challenges for everyone in this environment. The high levels of uncertainty, issues around income and health, and not being able to just get out and exercise and do what you love or do what you're good at. I think there's real issues and concerns around that. People can, in some ways, other parts of the world are more open than we are. The people are travelling around Europe and the US quite freely, as apart from Australia, which has, basically travel restrictions and border restrictions that require quarantining and what have you. So in some ways, people, they might be happier and more comfortable here in Australia, but there's actually nothing to stop them from going overseas. It's a very, the environment over there is quite depressing because you can't live your normal lifestyle when you're on tour. You basically just have to go back to your hotel every night, and you're just part of a hub where you've got to stay in that sort of clean environment.
So what role, because it can get confusing at times, the role of Golf Australia versus the role of the PGA in regards to tournament opportunities. And we spoke to the PGA last week, and there's going to be a tournament down in Rosebud and a couple of other events to try and give guys an opportunity to win some money and to play some competitive golf. Could this be something that is expanded through 2021 to give those guys a chance at tournament play and to earn some money, do you think? Or do we need to go quite that far?
Yeah, that's certainly, I know that's very much on the PGA's agenda. And we're working closely with them. They're focused on trying to find a way to put on domestic tournaments over the course of this summer. There's some that are going ahead, some of the state opens and then events that are part of the PGA Tour. The big professional events that Golf Australia own are basically the Australian Open men's and women's, and then Victorian Open and the Open, the state opens basically, with a couple of exceptions there, which are run, what WA New South Wales are run by their state golf association. But then the PGA Tour is organised by the PGA, and clearly the professionals are all members of the PGA, so they're thinking very carefully about trying to create opportunities and keeping people busy and opportunities for them to earn money as well.
And James, the good thing here in Victoria is that we can get back onto a golf course. How much your role in sort of lobbying to make that happen? And I know that at the moment you can only play in twos and there's no club competitions or anything like that. Are you continuing to talk to the government to try and make it as normal as possible? Or is it just, it's a win that you can play it all at the moment?
Oh, look, I think it's fantastic that we're back on, and Golf Australia's worked very hard over the course of the winter to ensure that government has confidence that when golf does reopen, that it reopens in a COVID-safe fashion, because the last thing we want to do is go backwards like we did in the middle of the winter where we got back playing and then it closed up again. I think there are other aspects that we're trying to see open up. I mean, you talk about competitions and playing in fours, but also then the facilities at the golf club where people can stay and have a drink or something to eat and that sort of thing. I mean, it's quite a... it's just a bit of a surreal environment going to a golf club at the moment. You just go in and leave. That we obviously want to see that change as soon as possible. So we continue to talk with health authorities and Sport and Rec Victoria to try to find a way through and to get things back to some sort of normality.
Yeah, that would be nice sooner rather than later if we can sort that out. I'm not sure it's a bigger issue than just golf issue at the moment, but we'll do our best to sort that out. And just before that, you go, just on the Vic Open, so it just doesn't exist in next season? Are we not going to try and postpone it, put it somewhere else? It just doesn't exist?
No, it won't happen this this summer, unfortunately. But we'll obviously turn our attention. The event's got real momentum. It's growing all the time. Significant prize money. Some of the best women's players in the world playing. Most of the best women's players in the world playing. Sort of co-joined around the same time as the Women's Australian Open, and then for the men, it's getting better and better all of the time. So we'll focus our attention on just trying to build for a great summer of golf in 21-22.
Well, we look forward to it, James. Always appreciate chatting to you, and first time under the new guys, I think, from Golf Australia perspective. Appreciate your time.
Pleasure, boys. Thank you. Bye.
Good stuff, James Sutherland. See you.